traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. Welcome to the International Equine Network's report on Friday afternoons at 2 o'clock. Our call-in number is 323-744-4831. Give us a call. We'll see what's going on with you and your equestrian endeavors. Good weather here in South Florida. Got a lot of things going on in the horse industry. And I hate to start the show off like this, but it's a good friend of mine. She passed away on the 4th of February here. Her name is Joanne McNamara. She's the first to be dubbed as by the turf media as exercise rider to the stars. For a list of champions and world-class horses she rode was amazing. She was just a heck of an exercise rider. Her and I shared the same age, and she worked with her when I was at Lucas's, and she's just a great rider, one of the most talented riders that I've ever seen. It was just unbelievable. Some of the horses that Joanne rode were Thunder Gulch, the 1995 Kentucky Derby and Belmont Stakes winner, three-year-old champion male, Grindstone, 1996 Derby and Horse of the Year, three-year-old colt, Chrismatic Derby and Preakness winner, Tabasco Cat, Preakness and Belmont winner, Editor's Note, Belmont winner, Serena Song, 2002 Hall of Fame inductee, Breeders' Cup champion, Cat Thief. It just an endless list of what she did. And she was, like I said, she was one of the best. But the unique thing about Joanne, as good as she was with the horses, she was a better person. So, you know, I hate to hear that. And, you know, just wanted to let you know what was going on there. Okay, guys, we're going to get into this thing here. A lot of good things, hopefully, were going on. February 9th card at Santa Anita has been postponed due to the historic rains that they've had out there. You know, it's just unbelievable. Like, you know, we've been talking about going to the Derby and getting your horses ready and everything that, we had. The training had been suspended for the last 4 days for the California protocols. Only joggers will be allowed on the track Thursday, and they'll return to regular training Friday morning, providing, you know, the rain doesn't get really, really, really bad. And that's the thing that we were talking about. You got a lot of Derby horses that are out there getting ready to travel and go, and when you can't train, and you know, you get to a couple of days, you know, won't hurt you, but you get 3 or 4 or 5 days, and then you can't race, and you know, it just throws everything out of whack on it. But they've had a lot of bad rain out there, and you know, it just happens. And like we were talking about the last couple of weeks about, you know, you're on the road to the Derby, you're on the road to going to Dubai and Europe to race, and all these big races, and all of a sudden, you know, you got track conditions that you got to deal with. You know, and some of these tracks, you know, have been muddy for, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, some have been cold, ice, snow, you know, you have it all. And it really shocks you when you say, man, what am I going to do? You know, but you recover from it. But, you know, now they're canceling the races today, and so it's going to be interesting to see how they come back with everything. And wonder how many of the stake races they'll reschedule for, you know, the near future. That's the big thing, you know, what they have to do. Illinois Derby is back on Hawthorne's schedule in 2024. Hawthorne Racecourse has resurrected the Illinois Derby and hope it will step towards reviving interest in Illinois racing. And that's the big thing in Illinois. When Arlington Park left, it was tough. Racing was dying off there at Arlington, and I think a lot had to do with the fact that, you know, the horse people knew racing was going to be leaving Chicago, and that made the big big decision to sell the property to Chicago Bears, and then they were going to try to, you know, revive Hawthorne, you know, to get it going and all. So it was just one of those deals, you know, that you have to look at. The $200,000 mile and eighth Illinois Derby will be held April 21st, 4 weeks before Pimlico race course hosts the Preakness Stakes, the second leg of the Triple Crown. And what I like about that is that gives people a lot of options, you know, prior to going to, you know, to the Preakness there in Baltimore. And one of the interesting things is that I think they're going to get a pretty good field for that, because that would be a great tune-up, you know, for the Preakness. And we'll see. We'll just see what happens, you know, with it. When the Kentucky Derby point system was introduced in 2013, Kentucky Derby, the Illinois Derby was left off the schedule, shifted into mid-April, and the Illinois Derby winner participated in three editions of the Preakness. So it just goes to show you, you know, that the timing was right, because they had trainers and owners that were interested in going to the Preakness out of Chicago. And so it made for a good you know, a good run there at the Preakness. And they're going to be doing the same thing and see what happens with it, how it goes. You know, I keep saying week in and week out about the horse industry. And, of course, I'm always touting it, you know. I have to, because I love the sport. It's my life. It's what I do, you know, and I like it. And so when I created the International Equine Network many, many years ago, I was trying to think of all the things that I could do. And I ran a lot of different tests and studies on what the horse industry was looking for, and basically decided to do a little bit of everything. We've got Quest for Equine Gold, which is show horses. We have Last Call, which is equine sales. We've got Chucker, which is polo. We've got just about everything, you know, that we have, that you would be looking for in the industry. And so it's working. It's working for me, and I'm excited about that. You know, like today, we've got America's Day at the races. We've got live racing. It's on our website. You know, today, you go to it and look at it. It's at the Wire USA, and it's all a lot of different tracks that we'll have on there today. We've got Farm of the Week. We go to different farms and see what they're doing, and you know what kind of operation they have. And we have show horse farms, and you know, we have standard bred farms. We have a little bit of everything, but primarily geared towards you know, the thoroughbred industry. But you know, we don't eliminate anybody. If we get a good farm of the week that we see coming up, no matter what breed they are, we'll put them up on our website to help get them some attention that are out there. And then we have the business of the week. One of the best businesses that I can tell you to deal with in the horse industry is Farm Vet. Farm Vet, boy, you can order anything and have it drop shipped to you wherever you're at, just in a phone call. And I mean, they literally have everything, and they've got the experts at Farm Vet that can tell you what you might need for a problem that you have. You just ask them and tell them, you know, and they'll tell you, and they'll suggest you know, a product or, you know, that type of thing, and then they can mail it right to you. And they're a good company. They're horsemen, and that makes a big difference. And they're good people too, you know. So that makes a great big difference. And then we've got Equestrian of the Week. This week we have Bob Baffert, Living the Equestrian Dream All Around the World. Let IEN introduce you to him today. That's what we want to do, introduce you to Bob Baffert. He tells you what it's like to be in the business and the ups and downs that he has. And, you know, it's just a good little interview there. You know, it kind of gets you behind the scenes, and you know, he'll tell you. Bob will tell you straight out what it's like. Then we got our Quick Links on here, which I really like. I use it all the time. And we've got links to, for example, Trivago.com for travel, hotels and traveling. We've got the weather.com if you're going somewhere to a show or to racing or traveling or what have you. Click on there and it'll tell you anywhere in the world what the weather's like. We've got MapQuest. It'll tell you how to get there, which is great. Then we have Walmart, of course. Walmart's kind of like, you know, everywhere. I don't care where you go. You can get what you need at Walmart there. We've got that quick link. And then we have HISA. HISA is a regulatory company that tells you anything and everything you need to know about rules and regulations in the horse business. Whether it's thoroughbred, show horses, standard breeds, they got the information for you there. That's all you need to do is click on to them. And then we have equine transportation, which everybody needs every now and then. I tell you, you click on there and it'll get you right over to Brook Ledge and it'll get you to where you need to go if you want to fly horses, if you want to ship them by ground. They'll help you right there with it. It's all good. Right there. Then one of my favorite, I tell you what, if you're going to be in the equine business, you got to go with the format that the people at Hallway Feeds have. Boy, they can feed your horse. They can tell you about your horses. If you got an eating problem or if you got a whatever problem you got with your horse, they got a feed that can, you know, help you get the problems taken care of. And more importantly, they've got the people that are horsemen there and they're knowledgeable and they've seen it all and they've done it all. And I don't care where you're in Florida, Kentucky, California, Hong Kong, Japan, Europe, they can feed you. They feed horses all over the world. And what I like about it is you can take the feed that you're feeding here in Florida, and if you go to Europe to show, you can order that same feed and get it delivered to you in Europe. And that's a company that's really, truly for the horsemen. And that makes a big difference. You know, they're a good group there. And so I suggest that if you want to feed your horse, you call them up and they'll take care of you. And 9 times out of 10, there might be a local feed store that has their feeds that they carry. But if not, they can get it to you. They can get it to you. And one of the things that I tell you, I love to watch polo. It's just amazing how these horses are doing polo. A lot of thoroughbred horses get in there. They couldn't make it on a track. They're now polo horses, and they play all over the world. And you see all the rich people, you know, at the polo matches. And when I went out to Wellington, I sat next to some people on the outside of the polo fields there. You pull up and you tailgate. And here I'm sitting in my truck and taking a look at what was going on and everything. And a guy in a Rolls Royce pulls up. And they got a guy that takes out the table, puts a tablecloth on it. They put their champagne out on there. And you know, they got their little snacks and their foods and their hors d'oeuvres. And here I'm sitting there in the back of my truck, and I got a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and some Coca-Cola. You know, but they became good friends, you know, and they were all there because of the sports. And that's what I like about a lot of the equestrian events that we go to. It's not what you have or who you are. It's just the fellowship and the camaraderie that's there. And, you know, you can talk polo and you don't have to, you know, be a millionaire to talk polo. And it's really been interesting. And so today on IENTV.org, we have the CV Whitney Cup. It starts at 3 p.m. today. And it's live on IENTV.org. So got about 40 minutes before they have the first chucker. And it's a good show. Just go down and click onto it on IENTV.org. And then be sure, any equestrian events that you watch on IENTV.org, always hit the enlarge. Enlarge, take the whole screen up. It's much better viewing when you do that. It's really good to see. But that's the C.V. Whitney Cup today at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on IENTV.org. And then this is when I originally started out doing what I was doing here. I said, you know, I want to cover everybody. I said, I want to be different. You know, usually in the horse industry, when you see TV or video or radio, it's a specific event that you go and see. You know, like the Derby, Preakness, Belmont, like 3 days of Rolex, show jumping at Lexington, the horse sales, you know, it's like kind of focused on it. So what I did is I've got a weekly programming schedule that I'm doing put up. And today, we have IEN Rough Cut, how IEN started. And this was the first, thing that I did, video wise. Was our introduction to IEN. And you go on there and you click on it, and it kind of gives you a look at what all we're doing here at IEN. Now, this is an old video because I've been experimenting and going around and kind of, you know, feeling the everything out to see how it goes. But it's the intro to International Equine Network. And then we move over to what is called Keeneland. It's the first thoroughbred test that I did, and I went out and Anna Seitz was my host, and we followed the Ready Let's Go stable around when they were bringing a horse named Ready Zecco back to the races. He'd finished third in the Belmont that year, and they laid him off, and they were getting him back, and they were bringing him back to Keeneland because he ran good at Keeneland. Really did. And so what we do there is we go around and we show you how the interviews go. There's some bloops in there and we kind of glossed over it's really good. It's behind the scenes of what it's like to be at race day. And Anna did a real good job with it. Good interviews and it was just fantastic. And you can kind of see how Ready Zecco ran in his return to racing. You can see that. It's exciting to watch him run. It's a good race, you know. And we talked to the jockeys, and we talked to, the owners. And it's just really good. It shows you what all goes into, putting a race together for TV, especially live. You know, it makes it tough. But Anna did a real good job. And then I got to thinking about, doing all this, and my whole goal in International Equine Network is to promote the equine industry by doing these little programs, making them interesting, to watch, and just not like, it's 10 minutes to post time or, 10 minutes to, jump off time and anything like that. What I want to do is make it interesting for people to look and see. And watch. And the one thing that I have on there in the International Equine Report that I think is probably really interesting to just about any and everybody, we go state by state, and we go breed by breed, event by event, and we give a little thing on the horses, what they're like. Now, today we have on there the state of Florida, and we have the Florida horse. And they tell you exactly how important a Florida horse is to, the state economy of the state of Florida. And we do this state by state, and we do it breed by breed. And, it's really good because every state's a little different. It's really interesting to see. And like I said, the Florida horse is really a good little, 10-minute deal, 12-minute deal there. It kind of shows you what the industry is about. And it covers all the breeds in that little documentary. And that was provided to us by the Florida Ag Department. We got a lot of agriculture programs that we're trying to get out and you know, get people to look at. And that's what it's all about, is educating and giving information. And hopefully, you know, people will watch some of our programmings here and go out to a local equine event in the area they live in. But it was interesting. I got the thing in today from our friends at Blood Horse Magazine. The Florida equine power confirmed by economic study. Now, the power of the horses here in Florida is just will blow your mind. You know, you just don't think about it, but it's unbelievable. The Florida thoroughbreds contribute $3.24 billion annually to the Florida economy. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money when you think about it. And you really don't see, you know, that many people. You think, how many people is it going to take to generate that kind of money? You know, it's just about everybody in everybody's neighborhood. They're going to Burger King, they're going to Publix and Winn-Dixie, and they're buying gas, and they're going to Walmart, and they're going to the doctor, and, you know, they're going to get new cars and used cars. And the horse industry, no matter what state you're in, literally touches any and everybody that live there. That's the fact. And the people that live here in Florida get $3.24 billion annually from the horse industry. You know, and I don't think a lot of people realize that. The study was commissioned by the American Horse Council. Reaffirm the status of the Florida equine industry, especially thoroughbreds. Racing is a major sport in agriculture and industry. You know, that's one thing that, you know, that just blows your mind. And I'll give you a good example. 1 in 5 Florida households participate in the equine activities, and more, 30% register as horse enthusiasts, having owner participation and spectator status. Florida lands dedicated to the equine industry is 561,000 acres that are here in Florida that are dedicated for the horse industry. But when you think about 1 in 5 people, now think about that. When you go and standing in the grocery line ready to check out your groceries, you look at 5 people there, and, you know, theoretically, and statistically, one of those persons in that 5 in that line could be in the horse industry. You know, and that's what we think about here at International Equine Network. We want to get out as much information as we possibly can. And used to, you know, you'd have to do it in print. You know, you'd have magazines and newspapers and all that kind of thing. You know, and that's the way they used to do it. But they still do it that way. But now everything has gone, you know, digital. You go to the websites, you know, you got your iPhones and you got your computers and your laptops and, you know, and everything. And so that's what we're doing here at the International Equine Network. We're making information on the horse industry, all breeds, all states, all countries, you know, easy to go to. You know, get onto our website, and you know, you can check it all out, you know, that we have there. Another thing, we got coming, a question and answering session up coming from Ocala. This will be on the 10th, I believe it is, that we're going to have there. It's going to be a question and answer with myracehorse.com. They're really good, and they can tell you how you can get into owning a horse for, you know, relatively inexpensive. It's a new wave that's coming in. And that'll be in the morning, I believe. Yeah, that's at 10:30 in the morning. And then at 2:30 in the afternoon, they have the afternoon session. And that'll be live from Ocala. And you can hear the owners, see the owners and what they're looking for, and see just what a day in the life of an owner is. It's really good. It's really good. And then I can't wait to get on one of these. And if I do, I tell you, I'm in trouble. I will be certainly in trouble for sure. That's why I'm glad I'm not married, don't have a girlfriend, don't have no kids. you know, hanging around, because when I go to, when I get doing something like I will on this project, they got a machine now that you can ride it, and it's got the video and everything, and the machine goes up and down just like you're riding a horse in a race. But this one is show jumping, and I tell you what, it is unbelievable. You see it from the eyes of the rider, and you're riding on this machine, and you, like, you're galloping along, and then the horse jumps over the fence, then you land, and you know, it's great that you can do. You can also race on them like you're in a race and breaking from the gate. And it's got the sense around sound, and it's got the TVs, and it really makes you feel like you're, you know, on a horse, you know, riding and show jumping and racing and that type of thing. But see, this is the kind of information that we like to get out for people to go and see and participate in it, you know, and kind of see what it's like. So let's say, for example, if you go to one of these facilities, you can get on a horse and ride and see what it's like in the Kentucky Derby, and then you ride, and then you watch TV the Kentucky Derby, and you know, you can kind of like say, "Hey, I've been there and did that," you know, type of thing. And then they got the show jumping and polo. They got everything on these videos now that you can do, you know, and it gives you the real deal. And then we have At the Wire. At the Wire is really a good program. We feature Aqueduct today is live right now, Oakland from New York. Oakland Park today is live from Hot Springs, Arkansas, is there. And then we've got Tampa Bay Downs over at Tampa that's live. Plus, we have At the Wire on our weekly tour that's running still, too. So we got four different, live racing on it. And like I said, we've got live polo on there, and we also have Quest for Equine Gold. They got the $62,500 Bainbridge jump off at Wellington today, and that's live. If you go there to us now and take a look at it, it really is a good show to watch there. And well, you know what I like is I can watch it from here in the office here at Sunshine Meadows. And I can watch our kids that just left and went up there this morning to show today. And that's what I like about that. And I don't miss anything. And if the grooms and all have to stay back here at the farm to take care of the horses, they can literally watch their horses they take care of, here showing up at Wellington. But that's Quest for Equine Gold, and it's live. It's a $62,500 Bainbridge jump off. And then, you know, it was kind of interesting. We got from the Polo Association, USPA, we got a little project going with them, and it's called the Sport of Horses, episode one, I think it is, and it's about polo horses. So that's a good informative thing that you can see. And if you like polo and you want something to do on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, you come down here to Florida. You can go to the Polo Hall of Fame over on Lantana and take a look at that. It's really a nice thing that they have, which is good. And that's on our show Chucker, which is all polo. We've got Quarter Time, which is all about AQHA. It's the Road to the $1 Million starts here. It's a real good thing about the Quarter Horse Association, and very entertaining. And then the main thing that I always wanted to do was create something about the Derby. And because I grew up wanting to go to the Derby, and, you know, couldn't wait to go to the Derby. Went to school. I was going to be a football coach and a school teacher, and that lasted about 3 years, you know, for me. I said, "Gee whiz," I said, "I got to get back to the horses," and all. So I did. I came back and got back with the horses, and then I started thinking about, you know, oh, gee, was this 30 years ago? I started thinking about all these things. And then I said, well, you know, I said, what can I do to get people interested, to get the information out? That's how I got IENTV.org. You know, got a nice website, do a lot of videos. And that's, you know, that's the distribution of equine information all over the world. And we went to BBS to do that. They cover a multitude of countries, and they were the perfect platform to get information out about what I'm doing. And I don't care if you're a golf enthusiast, if you're a painter, whatever you do, if you want to get information to a lot of people, you go to BBS Radio, hook up with them, get a podcast going, and I mean, you're good to go, because you're going to get the people in all walks of life, all countries. But how they get there, the 2024 Kentucky Derby was probably the first seed that was planted in my mind about the industry, because I was very fortunate in my career. I was in 17 Kentucky Derbies over the years. It was really good. You know, I worked for Wayne Lucas, Shug McGahee, One Star Farm. You know, it was just an endless, every year, you know, a derby thing. And so people would come out and talk to me and ask me, you know, what it's like to be around those kind of horses and, you know, be a part of the derby, you know, and all. So I got to thinking. I said, I'm going to create a little documentary, and right the week before Derby, it's going to be a full-fledged one-hour documentary, but to show you how I put it together, and like I did at Keeneland, how we did the rough cut and started everything, you know, up at Keeneland. What I have on the website now is called How We Get There, the 2024 Kentucky Derby. In the first segment we do, the journey starts here with the owner. So we go behind the scenes and we watch the owners and see how they make their plans for the Kentucky Derby. How they buy horses, or do they breed them? How they select a trainer and jockey. You know, they do all those things. And so once the owner does that, then he gets his trainer and he gives the horses to the trainer and said, you know, what can we do with these? Can we get to the Kentucky Derby? You know, and so the trainer takes them under his wing and he starts training them and saying, you know, there's a possibility, you know, he's good. He's doing what we're asking of him, you know, and that's not a problem. He's healthy. He's doing good. So, you know, it's really interesting to see how the trainer, you know, does what he does. And we're following Todd Pletcher, which is, you know, second to none, really. 33 million dollars a year average. He's multiple trainers of the year, Kentucky Derby winners, Breeders' Cup winners. You know, he's got them all. You know, it's just unbelievable how they do that. So you'll find out who Todd Pletcher is and where he's going and how many horses that he's got pointed for the Derby this year. And he's got several. And he's got a couple that are running in the Sam Davis over at Tampa this Saturday in the Sam F. Davis Stakes. It's a Derby qualifier, and he's got two in over there, and it's going to be interesting to see how they do. And another thing, what makes it good for me is Todd's at our Palm Beach Downs training center here in Delray. And so I get to see all of his horses training. He's got 126 plus horses with us in Palm Beach Downs. And over the last 10 years, that's all of his Derby winners and his Breeders' Cup winners and all has spent the winter training. And so it makes it nice for me because, you know, I'm behind the scenes and I get to see these horses, you know, and know exactly what they're doing. But that's when you meet the trainer and the jockey we got with Feet Pin Kai. That's on there, this that we followed, and then we're going to be following one of Todd's jockeys that are on the way to the Derby, and we're going to see just exactly, you know, how they're going to do. It's going to be interesting to see because there's a lot of good jockeys out there right now, and you know they're trying to find out who they're going to ride, you know, that type of thing. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what goes on with it, and how they select the jockey. You know, that's going to be this interesting part, you know, how they do that. So, you know, that's interesting. Then we've got equine transportation. How do the horses get to the Derby? Is it by truck? You know, van? Do they land them there? Do they fly them there? You know, how do they get them there? Especially the ones that are coming over from Europe and Hong Kong and China and Japan. You know, how do they get them here? We'll show you how they fly, how they get on the vans, how they travel. And then the most important thing, before you do anything, you got to have a horse that can run. And if he can run, then you got to have a blacksmith to keep the shoes on him. And so you can see how they get the shoes nailed on, and you know, and Steve Norman will tell you exactly what's going on with them and what you have to do. And that's interesting in itself, because people don't think about horses when they're running. They got an aluminum shoe on them, and they got to be fitted and how they're made so that they fit them, like us getting a pair of shoes. If you got a good fit, you can walk forever. And that's what they do with, you know, the blacksmith there with Steve Norman. And then again, it goes back to how do you power these animals? You know, you got the feed company, you got Hallway Feed. It's a good little thing that that they do. So, you know, it's very interesting. And once you feed them, you know, you try to get them to the Derby, you know, on a good, healthy diet. And then we have the equine sales. Equine sales, we go behind the scenes at Keeneland and see what, you know, what you have to do to buy, you know, a horse, you know, to get ready for the Derby and all. So we do that. And, you know, again, like I'm saying, we're just trying to educate everybody. We're just trying to get everybody to, you know, look at the horse business. You know, it's not going to cost you anything. You know, if it's raining outside, you come to our website, you can take a look at it. You can see, you know, all kinds of equestrian events all over the world, some live, some tape. And that's what's good, you know, to do that. And the sales, no matter whether it's thoroughbred, standardbreds, or show horses, you know, or what have you, you can Google equine sales, and there's probably a sale in your area. It could be from a backyard sale all the way up to, you know, the Keeneland, the Fassig Tipton sales, the golf sales over in Europe, you know, that type of thing, and where they sell for millions, you know. And what I like about it is it's kind of exciting, is you're looking at the horses, and you say, oh, well, you know, I wonder how much you're going to go for. You know, you can go for $10,000, and then all of a sudden next horse in the thing might go for $1 million, $2 million, $2 million, $3 million. You know, and that's what I like about the sales. And you can watch them on our website live. And we got shows on there that'll educate you what they're looking for, how they're looking for it. And then, and how they get there, we talk about the Kentucky Derby prep races is what we're looking at. We got, the Sam Davis, this week, live from Tampa. And that's Derby qualifier. On the prep races that we have here now, you can go to Kentucky Derby prep races, and you can see the results of the Southwest Stakes. It was from Hot Spring, the Holy Bull from Gulfstream, and the Robert B. Lewis that was at Santa Anita last week, and they all Derby qualifiers. So that's really good. And then probably the most exciting part of the whole thing is the decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. This is what the owner has to get with the trainer, the jockey. And let me tell you, I've been around a lot of big horses that have won the Derby. And let me tell you something. One thing for sure, the owner takes into consideration everybody. He wants to know how the hot walker that walks a horse every day feels, how the groom feels, how the exercise rider feels, how the jockey feels, how the trainer feels, about, you know, what do they think is their chance of, you know, just even running in the Derby, much less winning it. So the owner's got a lot of decisions to make, and then he makes his decision. And, you know, if it's go ahead, then you get back with your feed dealer, you get back with your blacksmith, you get back with your transportation people and say, hey, we're going to the Derby. Let's make sure that everything goes smooth. And all then you just hope and wait, you know, that nothing happens to the horse, and you can get to the Derby, get to that starting gate. And then, of course, we got the 2024 Kentucky Derby, which you can see here on IENTV.org, or you can watch it on NBC Live, or you can go to the Derby. And, you know, I would suggest at least go to the Derby once in a lifetime, you know, and I would go to the Derby and enjoy the experience, because next time you watch horse racing, it's that much better. You know, especially with the Derby. And what people are doing now is kind of interesting. A lot of people go to the Derby, experience that excitement of Derby week. It's 10 days of parades and you know, sales. And they got everything there. The 10 days of Derby between Lexington and Louisville, you can go down and watch 3-day Rolex. You can watch show horse jumping. You can watch just about any and everything that's there. You can go to the sales at Keeneland. You can literally go there. You don't have to be a horseman. You can go as a spectator, and you can get your catalog when you walk in the door, and then you can watch them sell the horses. Some sell for millions. And that's all part of Derby Week. And then you got the Pegasus Parade. You got the steamboat races with the Belle of Louisville. And that's always a good thing to go to. You got the Bloom Glow. You got racing at Churchill, you know, that weekend. You can go up there and kind of see what it's like before the Derby, you know, and the Oaks get there. And so they got a little bit of everything, you know, there in Louisville, those 10 days. And you know, it's kind of worth going to. But again, like I said, we're just trying to get everybody out to, you know, look at everything. And then we got a thing here that I like is, well, this is from last year, the 2023 Triple Crown races. You can hear one of the traditions they have is the Kentucky Derby. You can hear My Old Kentucky Home. You can hear Dan Fogelberg's Run for the Roses. And then you have the United States Navy Glee Club sings Maryland, My Maryland. And what I like about these three segments, it's a musical aspect of the traditional Triple Crown. And I really like that. And so we got the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. You know, you can hear New York, New York. It's really good. And speaking of the Belmont Stakes, it's going to be at Saratoga this year, because they have remodeling and they're rebuilding the Belmont track is what they're doing. And so that's really going to be a sight to see. In which they're going to rebuild Pimlico too. Churchill's has almost rebuilt. So, you know, they really make it, you know, something for you to come and see. That's what they're doing. And that's our, it's called Triple Crown, an American tradition. And, so that's the three races there. But this is the one that I like the best, because I really get into this. We have, a thing called the Triple Crown tradition coming soon. And what it is we go to Churchill Downs, and we have, all the different things like the burger and you know, the hot browns, and you got everything, you know, all the traditional foods of the Kentucky Derby. And so my idea here was to get a jockey, an owner, and a trainer to have a cook-off before the Derby. And we'll get a winner. We'll get one winner out of there. It could be an owner. It could be a jockey. It could be a trainer. And they're going to give their best recipes for the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, we don't know what it's going to be, but, you know, we're sure it's going to have burger and the mint julep and you know, barbecue for Kentucky. And then for the Preakness at Pimlico, you know, it's probably going to be seafood. you know, because seafood is a big part of the Maryland tradition in Pimlico for the Preakness. So, you know, we'll see that and see who's got what there. And then we have the Belmont Steaks, which I'm sure it's going to be some type of steak, you know, or, you know, a real, you know, high-end, you know, food and, you know, that type of thing. And then we can see what kind of the Belmont Jewel, what they have for their drink, the Pimlico drink, and, you know, the Kentucky drink, the mint julep. They all have their different ones. And then we got people that are sending recipes in there, you know, that type of thing. We've got Kentucky hot brown cake. That's really good. I like it. You know, but it's the Triple Crown tradition coming soon. So I took it a step further after each one of the tracks. I said, now what can we do? I've got a winner from each track. Could be an owner, could be a trainer, could be a jockey. Okay, I take each one of those tracks, their owners, and then at Breeders' Cup time, we go to the Breeders' Cup, which will be in California, and we're going to have a cook-off. We're going to see what track produces the best of the best, just like they do in the Breeders' Cup. You got the best of the best horses coming from the Breeders' Cup. They have 2 days of racing. And they have every division in the thoroughbred industry, turf, sprint, distance, you know, they got it all. And then at the Triple Crown finale, we'll have the best food. Who has the best food? That's what I'm looking forward to. And, you know, we'll know, we could have three owners, we could have three jockeys, could have three trainers, or a combination of all of them. You know, so we're gonna do that with, and I'm excited about that. So, after years and years and years of thinking and, you know, kind of putting things together and seeing, you know, what we're gonna do with this project. Now I know I'm pretty much into, you know, what we're gonna be doing with it, and everything is gonna be based out of this podcast that we're doing here. So looking forward to that. So speaking of the Derby and all the big things, what we're going to look at now is we're going to look at the Derby Dozen, Byron King's Derby Dozen, presented by Spendthrift Farm. Information's courtesy of the Red Horse Magazine. Well, we've had just a few changes here. And what I like about the Derby Dozen is it's the most accurate, piece of information that you can get to. You know, it's really down to everything. And this week we had Fierceness, was the Breeders' Cup champion last year, Horse of the Year. He made his comeback in the Holy Bull down at Gulfstream. He ran good, but not what, you know, he showed that he could do. So it rearranged everything. So Dornich hit the top of the list today. West Pace is racing, R.A. Hill Stable, Belmar Racing, and breeding, and 2-8 Racing and Pine Racing Stables, Danny Gargan's the trainer. You got a lot of owners here. You got more horses and more owners. You got horses up there. He was really a good horse. This horse is good. Churchill Downs, he ran good there. The Baffert trained horse that he ran against, Nyos, was good. It was always something, you know, going with him there. This horse, he's just crazy. He's the full brother to Kentucky Derby winner Madge. And this horse is really coming along. I'm not going to say he's green, but he's young. And he's got the right mind, and he's very athletic. He's very athletic. And his next start is going to be, I believe they're going to take him on to the Fountain of Youth. March 2nd is what they're going to do with him. He's over at Palmetto's Training Center here in Palm Beach County. Oh, man. of the 20 horses that are running the Derby, 15 of them will be out of Palm Beach County here. And so that'll be good. But this is a good horse. He's training, like I said, at Palm Meadows. He's doing very good. They couldn't ask for anything any better. And then we have Fierceness, which is trained by Todd Pletcher, and he's owned by the Repole Stable, and our Repole Stable, Mike Repole Stable. He was a champion 2-year-old horse. He made his debut in a Holy Bull against these other good horses there, and you know it was pretty good. He just wasn't ready to run in that kind of competition. You know, he'd been off since last November. So that was an interesting thing there. And then, Fierceness, to show you the competition that's in the Pletcher stable that we have down here, Locked. Locked is trained by Todd Pletcher. He's a gun runner, colt, and I mean, he can run. His horse can run. He breezed last week. He hasn't run since December. He's really, really, really looking good. I tell you, we're going to see what's going to happen. He's in a Sam Davis tomorrow over here. Make sure that we're right on that. The Sam Davis is coming up. And let's see. No, Todd didn't get him in over there. They're going to wait. They're going to wait on him because the Sam Davis, which is a Derby qualifier, like I said, is Saturday out here. And said that said he's going to miss a planned start for the Sam Davis at Tampa Bay Downs, provided this setback because he had a fever. And said they're going to be looking, you know, for something down. Down the road for me. But, you know, it goes back to, you know, like all the things that you plan, you know, you plan weather condition, plans everything, you know, and then he runs it and he comes up with a little bit of a fever. And so the most important thing is the health of the horse. And that's what they're doing there. Track Phantom. Well, I tell you, boy, this doggone horse is a runner. He's trained by Steve Asmussen. I mean, this horse can flat out get it. He is a typical Asmussen trained horse. He's going to give everything you got and leave it on the track. That's what he's going to do. His next race will be the Risen Star. And I tell you what, he's going to tear the fairgrounds track up. I mean, he will. He's going to be good at it. We got Sierra Leone. Susan Magner trains this horse, or she owns this horse. And I tell you, he's a good horse. He's a good horse. I don't think he's been into the, you know, into the competition like he should have or could have been. Chad Brown has him. He was at Payson Park Training Center, and so we'll see what happens, you know, with him there. He's coming off a layoff. Then we have Forever Young, it's a Japanese horse. He shined in Japan. He said he just head and heels above everybody else. He's coming over, you know, to see him. I mean, this just gets it gets better and better. Timberlake. This horse is a good horse, trained by Brad Cox. He can do the distance. He's going for the Rebel Stakes in February 24th at Oakland. And we got Nash, as another Brad Cox trained horse. He's been against, you know, some of the horses that have been running. He knows what it's all about. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know. I don't know why I like this horse. I don't know why. It just got me puzzled. And I said, what the heck did I pick this horse for? You know, I said, man, oh man. I said, it's an honor code horse. And I'm sitting there thinking like, wow, you know, what's this horse going to do? you know, I just looked at him and I said, holy cow. I looked at his bloodline, and everything there for his bloodline is right there. You know, it's for everything says yes. But I said, I don't know why I really do like it. It's called Honor Marie. And I said, holy cow. I said, what's this horse going to do? He fits the bill. If you were to write on a piece of paper what kind of horse you wanted to run in a derby, this is it. I mean, this is it. I don't know. He's going to be Honor Maria. I think he'll be able to get, he's going to go to the Risen Star. They're going to find out what it is, you know, about him. You know, betting horses is a funny deal. Or looking at horses is a funny deal. You look at the bloodlines and see what they got. You know, it's just, you know, it's just interesting to see. And, you know, I'm telling you, I'm going to name a horse, you know. That's what I'm going to do, because I say it all the time. But having said that, I think that the Derby this year is wide open. I think it's really wide open. And we have, like I said, all these races, the qualifying races, like the Tampa Bay Downs. We've got the Sam F. Davis. There's a 12-horse field. Now, out of this 12-horse field, I don't know how many of them, you know, will come out, you know, ready to roll. Because you've got two, maybe three races to get into your horse before the Derby. And I'm saying I'm going with two. You got to make sure you got the points. And if you place well in the Sam Davis this weekend, then you're going to have one more race at least to get your points to get in. And it's going to be interesting because after the Sam Davis, we got coming up the Tampa Bay Derby. We've got the Florida Derby, Arkansas Derby, Louisiana Derby. So you kind of limit yourself when you get going, you know, this late in the year, and you got two races to go. And the worst scenario is the fact that if you, well, like Sam Davis, you got 12 horses running in there. That's a full field. And I can guarantee you that there's going to be horses that are going to race. They're going to be competitive. And when they come out of that race, it's going to take a lot out of them. It's going to take a lot out of them. And then you got to think about the next race you're going to run, whether it's the Tampa Bay Derby, you know, just whatever it is. You know, can you be ready for that? And then can you recoup enough for the Derby? And what it's like, and the best thing I can compare it to would be like, you know, the World Series. You got to play, you know, the seven games, you know, stretch. You got to prepare for that. It would be like, you know, NFL playoffs, NBA playoffs, NCAA basketball. You know, you got to put it all on the court. You got to put it all on the track. You got to put it all on the field every day from here on out. That's what you got to do. Can't afford any setbacks right now. You know, hard luck hits you, you're in trouble. You know, bad weather hits you, you're in trouble. There's a lot of things you got to do to it. And I'm telling you, it's going to get tough here. It's going to get real tough here. You know, I'm telling you, it's going to be interesting. But what I want you to do is, like, go to the website, take a look at it. You know, you don't have to listen to me ramble on when you go to the website. You got professionals on there. You got the real good camera people. You know, those camera people, almost good enough to be working over at BBS and all. But, you know, there's just a lot to think about. And the whole point of this project every Friday that I do is I'm a terrible golfer. Costs a lot of money to play golf, but I can afford a podcast at BBS Radio, and that makes me happy. And I don't care if I have any listeners, but the good thing about no listeners is, you know, you don't get criticized. And I like that because I walk out of my chair and go back out on the farm and say, wow, that was a good show. That was a good show. And I like that. you know. But if I got somebody criticizing me, boy, I walk out of here, I'd be sad. I'd be kicking the cat down the road. And I'd be doing all kinds of things. I'd be crazy. But like I said, International Equine Network is about equestrian information distribution of all breeds in all countries. So if you got a question, if you got, you know, need to know anything, just give us a call at 561-466-1272 or IENEquineTV@gmail.com. And I'll answer all your questions and we'll get you hooked up in the right direction. And, you know, hey, go do something equestrian this weekend. Google equine, information, in your area, and you'll be able to find something there. But tune in next week, and if you tune in next week, I'm going to be giving away to a caller, I'm going to be giving a 2024 Kentucky Derby mint julep glass away to the first caller I get next Friday. So this is Scott Miller from Delray Beach, Florida, Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, Palm Beach Downs, saying, next week, call me.